I invite you to just listen what we just prayed together. This is a little different translation. Psalm 42. As a deer yearns toward water channels, so my soul, my throat, my being yearns towards you, O God. My soul, my throat, my being thirst for God, for the living God. When will I come and see the face of God? My tears have been food for me day and night. When they say to me all the time, so where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. How I made procession in crowds, making my way to the house of God, to the sound of jubilation and thanksgiving, a pilgrim throng. Why are you downcast, my soul, and restless within me? Wait in hope for God, for I shall still praise him. Deliverance is in his presence, my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your cascading waters. All your breakers and waves sweep over me. By day, the Lord commands his covenant love, and by night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go about in gloom under the pressure of the enemy? With bone-shattering attacks, with opponents taunt me, while they say to me all the time, so where is your God? Why are you downcast, my soul? And why are you restless within me? Wait in hope for God, for I shall still praise him, my saving presence and my God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You just pray with me. Padre nuestro, te doy gracias otra vez por hablar conmigo, por proveerme tu palabra y por sorprenderme. Te pido por protección que las palabras sean buenas para las personas presentes y si no, por favor, protégelos. Ayúdame a comunicar tu mensaje. Amén. For those who don't know me, my name is Susanna. I attend Duke Divinity School. I have been interning at CityWell for a little over a year. I have stood at this congregation before, and I even preached my first sermon here last summer. As I continue to find my footing in the pulpit, I am noticing that I am drawn intensely to the Old Testament, especially the Psalms. When I found out that Richard C. Dr. Hayes, I Googled you, Wikipedia describes you as one of the world's leading New Testament scholars, was presiding over communion, I told myself I would select a New Testament lectionary text, or at least I would strive to. And then I saw the lectionary text from this Sunday and went back to my Old Testament faith. Sorry, Richard, maybe. Back in February of 2018, I heard a lecture by Dr. Ellen Davis on Psalm 42. She spoke about the deep metaphors that are within this psalm and how the central image in this is a deer that is yearning for water. The imagery is so rich that it can be depicted in an actual image. And I think, is the image up? Most people are familiar with Duke Chapel, but inside of Duke Divinity School is another chapel. Its name is Goodson. This is a paper cutout that can be found outside of the chapel. She presented in class and said that it is by a Jewish artist. Ms. Powell has actually rendered the image of Psalm 42 in a paper cutout. I wanted to show this image because this is what was in my mind this entire week as I was contemplating this message. In her lecture, Dr. Davis made a comment about verse 8, the verse that has always struck and confused me the most. In some ways, it is the verse that I understand the least. It reads, deep calls to deep at the sound of your cascading waters. all your breakers and waves sweep over me. Just reading it gets me a little bit emotional, and I don't even know why. She said this is the kind of verse that often is given more meaning as you get older, as time goes by. I remember asking myself in that moment what deep calls to deep means for me. And because I had no definitive answer, I promised myself that if I ever had the opportunity to preach on this ambiguous yet somehow convicting text, I would do so. So here I am. I think to attempt to understand verse 8, we have to try to understand the psalmist. She is in deep yearning, a painful one. She is yearning for God, comparing herself to a deer that is scenting out for water, while asking when she will be before God. She describes her tears as food that she has eaten day and night. Have you ever wept so much that tears are just falling into your mouth and they become your food? What a powerful image. We can also understand that from verse 4, that this is the pain that she is undergoing is not a private one. She describes that others have interpreted her misfortune as an abandonment from God. In verse 10, she asks, "Why have you forgotten me?" The psalmist is in deep, deep pain, a pain so intense that she describes it as a water cascading on her and waves sweeping over her. I don't know if many of you have had the experience of waves sweeping over you, but waves are powerful and they're heavy. They can throw and toss you in deep waters. Then there's the image of waterfalls cascading. And it sounds beautiful, but if water's cascading, if waves are going over you, it can be difficult to breathe, to see. But what does deep calls to deep mean? The way I understand it at 29 years old, is that in the midst of deep pain, in the midst of pain that feels like you are underwater and never going to come up again, there is something, there is someone that you can call and reach for. I enter the next part of my sermon with great hesitation. Speaking on God, pain, and suffering is one of those things I do very cautiously. In this room, there may be suffering and pain that I could never understand or imagine, and my intent is not to tell anyone how their pain and suffering is good or a necessary thing to reach God. For me, pain and suffering are not part of a divine equation where you have suffering and add X and you attain salvation or communion with God. However, I do want to offer a couple words regarding this subject. And because I still fear speaking on pain and suffering, I will be using Dr. Davis' words. She says the following on the topic. We prefer to think of suffering as a problem, not a mystery. Problems have explanations and solutions. And so, like Job's friends, we are hopeful that if we are clever enough, we can get on top of this problem of suffering. But the idea that suffering is nothing more than a problem to be solved is a religious delusion. A heresy. And like all heresies, it deprives those who believe in it a true relationship with God. The psalmist shows us the truth. Suffering is part of our life with God, and no one escapes it, not even God's only begotten Son. Suffering is a fearful mystery that beckons us to go deeper in prayer, in an anguished, angry prayer, deeper into our pain, until we're drawn finally into the heart of God. The psalmist shows us the moment of astonished discovery to which faithful suffering leads, the moment when, cast down in the depths, cast down even in God's hands, there we discover, beyond all logic and imagining, that the bottom of despair is solid. And suddenly we know, strange, unshakable, with strange but unshakable certainty that we cannot fall. In life or in death, we cannot fall beyond the reach of God's love and God's power to save. It is out of that certainty that we discover our own boundless capacity for praise. Dr. Davis is describing that in the depths of hitting rock bottom, there is a potential for discovery. It's an understanding beyond logic and imagination that we cannot fall beyond the reach of God's love and power to save. And that allows us to discover our own capacities for praise. It is in the deep that we can experience the actual depths of God's love. When preparing the sermon, I thought it was curious how the psalmist recalls verse 5. A joyful time when she would make her way towards the house of God. She recalls her time in temple, in church, if you will. It took me until this morning to understand what she meant, and her faith and theology regarding the house of God put mine to shame. As we enter a new season as a church family, we have to remember that regardless of any transition, of any website revamp, or any new leadership, that this is first and only the house of God. Why is this important? Let me explain. The psalmist recalls her time in church when she is going through her pain. And this psalm does not end with joy, but it ends with a hope. A hope that is reinforced by the memories that she has had in the house of God. It is in the temple she had the very real encounters with a very real God. I see so many families, so many young children, one just crying, and I am moved when I begin to think that these children will get older, and as they get older, they're going to form their own relationship with God. They're going to make it their own. As they go through pain and suffering, I hope that they'll be able to recall City Wall as a place where they encounter a real God. But for this to be so, we the adults, that feels good to say, I don't know, have to begin to treat this place for what it is. Take a look around. I really look around. This is the house of God. My hope is that you come on Sundays not because of some old tradition or because your parents conditioned you to do so, but because you, like the psalmist, understand and know that you can encounter God here. And parents, you are gifting your children with a theological memory, allowing them in future turbulent times to recall their long-standing relationship with God. That memory is powerful beyond measure and can be a big influence for them to return back when they've gone through their own pain and suffering. You all know I like to deliver short sermons. I had planned on stopping here, but I felt convicted to share with you all what led me to move to Rome in March of 2017. Many people assume that it was to attend divinity school, but the reality is that I had no idea what divinity school was when I moved here. My journey to Durham began underwater. In November of 2015, I went through a very intense breakup. I feel so strange talking about breakups from a pulpit, mostly because I've only seen male pastors do it, and they use it to tell this story about deep loss, hurt, and sin, and how they swore themselves to some sort of legalism, and they met their future wife with angels singing, and, you know? This is not my story. And I'm engaged now to a wonderful person, but I don't want you to connect the story with him. This is my story with God. I'm sharing this because I wish I would have heard a woman be raw and honest about her painful breakup back in 2015. I digress. What I want to say is that during that time, kind of pain never experienced before. I felt betrayed in many levels by multiple people, but mostly by God. I had trouble getting up, dressing myself, and going to work. At rock bottom, I decided to commit myself to traveling to a different state every month because that's how I felt alive. I was looking for healing and for life. It was in Montana, some random state, in July of 2016, that I remembered my time at church, that I remembered how God had met my family over the years. I came back to California and began attending church regularly. I joined a small group, and although I was still underwater, I was able to recognize that I was never alone through this process. My deep pain allowed for a deep foundation for the relationship I have with God now. In November of 2016, I booked my last trip to North Carolina. I came here for 3 days to go hiking at the Blue Ridge Parkway. It was here at peak foliage where I asked for air for the first time. I remember looking at the trees, at the purples, yellows, oranges, and reds of the leaves and thinking, no, sobbing if I'm being honest, how God knew me, like God created the trees and the leaves and knew every curl in my head. I don't know where you are this morning. And I don't know what you think or feel when you hear deep calls deep. I don't know if any of you are still underwater. But my hope and prayer is that one day you can stand before folks just as I'm standing here today and honestly proclaim, praise God, and to God be all the glory. Amen.